God of love and new beginnings. As we celebrate the life offered to all creation through Jesus Christ, we are filled with thanks. Our gratitude moves us to pray for the many places in the world where there is suffering. We pray for places where day-to-day life is characterized by conflict and discord. May your peace and hope be experienced by all who live in fear of violence and injustice. We pray for communities that are economically diminished and households that are struggling to make ends meet. May all know the fullness of your promises and the abundant life offered through your Son. Teach us anew that the foundation of life is love for you and for neighbor. We pray for the community in which we live and work and learn. Offer us a clear opportunity to be of service to someone in need. We pray, Lord, that you will hear our prayers for those who are ill and who struggle to recover health and wholeness. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one or dealing with unwanted change in their life. May they know your comfort and support as they become accustomed to their new reality. We pray for our families and for ourselves. May we be filled with a strong sense of your presence and guiding spirit, for you alone are our refuge, our strength, our ever-present help in trouble. We pray that you will open our hearts and our ears and our minds as we hear your word spoken now. May it transform us and change us more and more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from Psalm 31 and can be found on pages 548 in your pew Bibles. It is the fifth psalm of Eastertide, according to the lectionary, and therefore brings us today on the fifth Sunday of Easter to Psalm 31. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Keep me free from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, Lord, my faithful God. I hate those who cling to worthless idols. As for me, I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your love, for you saw my affliction and knew the anguish of my soul. You have not given me into the hands of the enemy, but have set my feet in a spacious place. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am in distress. My eyes grow weak with sorrow, my soul and body with grief. My life is consumed by anguish, and my years by groaning. My strength fails because of my affliction, and my bones grow weak. Because of all my enemies, I am the utter contempt of my neighbors. I am a dread to my friends. Those who see me on the street flee from me. I am forgotten as though I were dead. I have become like broken pottery, for I hear many whispering, terror on every side. They conspire against me and plot to take my life. But I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your unfailing love. Let me not be put to shame, Lord, for I have cried out to you. But let the wicked be put to shame and be silent in the realm of the dead. Let their lying lips be silenced, for with pride and contempt they speak arrogantly against the righteous. How great is your goodness which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of all, on those who take refuge in you. In the shelter of your presence you hide them from all human intrigue. You keep them safe in your dwelling from accusing tongues. Praise be to the Lord, for he showed me the wonders of his love when I was in a city under siege. In my alarm I said, I am cut off from your sight. Yet you heard my cry for mercy when I called to you for help. Love the Lord, all his faithful people. The Lord preserves those who are true to him, but the proud he pays back in full. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A few weeks ago, I had the opportunity to speak to you from Psalm 23, which were familiar words of comfort. In our journey through Psalm 23, we considered its perspective, the perspective of someone who had walked through the valleys, the trials of human life, but one who is then standing on the other side, able to look back at God's and see God's presence, God's care, and recount that, recount all of those blessings that are seen from the other side. Today's psalm, Psalm 31, is written from a much different perspective. It is written during a time in the psalmist David's life when he is under attack. In verse 9, he cries out for God's mercy because he is in distress. He recounts the physical effects of this distress. He says his eyes are weak with sorrow, his soul and body with grief, his strength fails, his bones grow weak. In verse 11, we discover that this isn't just an interior anguish, but it extends into the actions of the community that he is living in. It says that he is the contempt of his neighbors. His friends are embarrassed of him. They're dodging him. They're crossing the street when they see him coming through town. They don't want anybody to think that they have anything to do with him. To be next to him is to be in trouble yourself. So in today's vernacular, they're ghosting him. They're disappearing, making sure that he has no context. David hears the whispers. He feels the pitying glances. And he knows that there's more to it than just rejection. He knows that there is a trap, a conspiracy against him, and a plot to take his life. So everyone is afraid to get too close to David, to get caught up in this fray. And so David feels abandoned and alone. And it's in this context that we hear Psalm 31's cry for refuge. He says, "Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me." We have many different kinds of refuge in our life. The places we go or the habits that we enact when we are walking through the day-to-day challenges or even the valleys and trials of life. It may be that favorite chair with that favorite beverage clasped in hand, or to disappear under the covers into the oblivion of sleep. Maybe it's a brisk walk or a conversation with a spouse or a close friend. I know that I like to disappear into a book, if even just for a short while. In some of these refuges, some of these refuges are more lasting than others. Eventually, we wake up, or the book ends. We have many other places where we seek refuge, more lasting places, perhaps, where we feel safe. Often, our homes can feel like places of refuge, a place where we feel safe and secure, but even they can become unsettled. I remember a number of years ago, my home was broken into while I was out with friends one evening. I came home to my front door open and my cat, who is an indoor-only cat, sitting on the front step looking at me in confusion. The thief was no longer there, and mostly only the food from my fridge was taken and a few sentimental pieces of jewelry that were more precious than they were valuable. But the violation ended up being less about the stuff and more about the space. My home had been violated. My refuge was shaken, and it took a long time for that place to feel comfortable again. When our homes are violated, it rocks us to our core. We feel vulnerable and exposed, perhaps even a little bit lost. And it struck me that the same kind of upset kind of happened for many in Toronto this week. Not when it came to homes, but when it came to sidewalks. We expect that a sidewalk is going to be a safe place for pedestrians. Normally, we walk them with confidence, expecting that cars will stay to their place on the road and pedestrians will be able to stay on their place on the sidewalk. We tell our children that the road is the place that is dangerous. That's the place where you need to hold my hand when we cross the street. The street is the place of danger, and the sidewalks are the place of safety. But this week, when a van driver took to the sidewalks in a deliberate act to harm, Toronto sidewalks no longer felt quite so safe. And that leaves us wondering, what is safe? What is our refuge? Our psalm this morning paints quite a specific picture of refuge. In verses 2 and 3, it is a rock or a fortress. In verses 8, it is a spacious place. In verse 20, it is the shelter of God's presence. The common denominator of these kinds of images of refuge are God. The first two give concrete images of the strength of God's presence, a solid rock, a strong fortress. These are images of a fortress that cannot be destroyed or stormed by the enemy or a van. For us, they are a place of strength. But what exactly do they look like? Do all of our places of refuge have to be a strong rock or a fortress? If we think along those lines, our modern-day visions of this might be some locks that a thief cannot pick, or perhaps cement sidewalk barriers that a van cannot cross. But these kinds of images of refuge end up taking away a lot more than they give. Do stronger locks really provide a safer home and barriers a safer sidewalk? Because David here, he does not really want an actual rock or a fortress to run away and to escape to. Because to do so, he would be stuck away from his true duties and his true purpose. He would be locked away in a rock or a fortress. When we escape behind locks or barriers, we become restricted, cut off in a completely different way. Our refuge can actually become its own kind of jail or its own kind of isolation. And that's exactly the opposite of the kind of refuge that this psalm is speaking of. Which brings us to the next descriptor, that of verse 8, where it talks about God gives us a spacious place. A spacious place is not a cave or a place where we are holed up with locks and barriers protecting us on all sides. That's not the kind of refuge that is envisioned here. Rather, it's spacious. It's the opposite of being boxed in or backed up into a corner. It's the direct opposition to the I can't find my way out of places. A spacious place is full of opportunity and possibility. It's a place of learning and growing and forgiveness, redemption, and joy. This image brings for mind to me that of a great, large, green field with the sun on my face where it is like I can breathe. Perhaps green pastures and quiet waters where God refreshes my soul. And what we notice here is that the action always comes back to God. It is God who is the strong fortress. It is the one who gives strength. It is also God who provides the spacious place. And finally, it is the shelter of God's presence. Why? Verse 16 tells us that this is because of God's unfailing love. God's unfailing love is a translation of the Hebrew word chesed. It's one of those words that's difficult to translate. A children's author translates it as God's never-stopping, never-giving-up, always and forever love. Another way to look at it is covenantal love, a love that cannot be broken, a love that when we were slaves in Egypt, God delivered us, a love that when we were trapped between Pharaoh and the deep blue sea, God parted the waters, the love that when we were starving and thirsty, God gave us manna in the desert and water from a solid rock. The love that when we faced fierce enemies, God fought the battles and gave us victory. The love that David knew and proclaimed in this psalm. The love that when we were dead in our sin, Emmanuel, God with us, came and pitched his tent among us. Which brings us to the lectionary gospel reading of John 14, which is paired with Psalm 31 on this, the fifth Sunday of Eastertide. At this point in the Gospel of John, where we reach chapter 14, Jesus has wrapped up his public ministry and has washed his disciples' feet, and he has predicted his betrayal and Peter's denial. He then comforts his disciples and encourages them with these words. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. For my Father's house has plenty of room, and I'm going there to prepare a place for you." Traditionally, we have read these words in this passage as a kind of refuge. A refuge called heaven, far away from the turmoils and pains of this earth. Such images paint pictures of a golden castle filled with splendid rooms for each believer away. But that's actually not what Jesus is talking about here. The only other time in Scripture when Jesus talks about his Father's house, Jesus is talking about the temple. So then the question has to be asked, what does it mean for the temple to have many rooms? To do that, we need to understand a little bit more of what the temple is. The temple is the place of God's presence. It is the place where God is. And so the Apostle Paul tells us that with Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension, and this Holy Spirit being sent to earth at Pentecost, we become the temples of God. We are the temples of the Holy Spirit. So what Jesus is saying in this John 14 passage is that he is going to wash clean our hearts by the power of his blood, and that his death will bring death to sin, and that his resurrection will bring new life. That our hearts of stone are going to be turned into hearts of flesh that will be made into temples of the Holy Spirit, where God will dwell within us. We are the many rooms. Our refuge is not to escape away into a heavenly fortress, but rather it is to have God with us. Or as David puts it in Psalm 31, verse 20, the shelter of God's presence. The shelter of God's presence with us, in us. It is a presence that is given to us, because of God's chesed, because of God's unfailing love, God's never stopping, never giving up, always and forever love. It is a presence that will never, ever be removed from us, a presence that will never abandon us, because God loves us to the cross and back. It's a great difference to think of it this way, to think of God's presence with us, rather than out there somewhere. It's the difference of presence versus absence. Part of my life right now is immersed in the debates about the Lord's Supper that happened during the Reformation in the 1500s. And one of the big things that they debate there over and over again is how could Christ really be present in the Lord's Supper? And what it comes down to is God present or is God absent? How does God act and interact with us? And so they keep asking this question in different ways over and over again. Can God be present? Is God present to us? And then what does that mean for our faith and our sanctification? Sometimes it seems like these are little nitpicky debates that go on and on about silly things forever, and sometimes I think they do a little bit, but we all do that a little bit. But at the core of what's going on in here is how is God present to us and in us? And can that change us? Can the Holy Spirit work in us? Can we be transformed? If God's temple is us, if God is here with us and in us now, really, truly, not distant, not absent, not away somewhere, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for our refuge? And what Scripture is telling us is that God really is here. That God has made his dwelling not just among us, but in us. Not just in our thoughts, not just in what we can remember and think and believe, and what we ourselves can hold on to in the good moments and in the bad, but really that God's presence is here with us, changing us. And that means a lot for our faith and for our sanctification, because it means that God is the one who is acting in us. It is God who is transforming us by the power of his Spirit to become more and more the image of Jesus Christ, his Son. It means that when we are going through the trials like those of David and the ones that we will all experience in our life, that place of strength, that spacious place, is in us because God's presence is in us. And we are not alone through these trials and tribulations. And that is what our psalm is promising us this morning. That Christ has died, Christ has risen, that Christ will come again, but in the meantime, Christ is with us through the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord God, we give thanks that you are our strong refuge, that you are a place of strength. We give thanks that it is not a place where we have to run and hide to, but rather that it is a spacious place where we can breathe. We also give thanks that this place is within us, that your Spirit is within us, that you are the author of our faith, but also that you are the one who is changing us more and more into the image of your Son. We pray, Lord, that we will know the comfort of your presence, that we will not feel abandoned. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.